Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Pay Attention, Please, Hollywood Life's Real Housewives podcast. I'm Chris Rogers.
And I'm Eric Tedisco.
And we have, like, once again, as always, we have quite a bit to talk about in the Housewives world, don't we?
Yes, we do. We're obviously going to get into a bunch of fun topics across the whole Housewives world. And then we have a great interview with Dolores Catania from the Housewives of New Jersey. We recorded the episode before the episode of Jersey aired with the softball game. So we kind of got her input about the charity game and everything that went on that everyone already saw on the episode, unless you haven't seen the episode yet. But then she also brushed on a whole array of topics about what's coming up with the season. We got some scoop about the Ireland trip, spoiler alert.
I'm excited for
Paulie. I'm not gonna give too much away, but Paulie does make an appearance on our interview. He pops in and gives us some tidbits about what his life is like now that he's a quote-unquote reality star. And it was a really great chat with Dolores.
They also I won't again not give too much away yet, but Dolores revealed something about Teresa and Melissa's season-ending fight that I didn't know. And I was like,
because that we know is like the big thing of the season that obviously catapults into them not attending the wedding, but we haven't really heard about what goes on. And Dolores did
give a little more
some
details
into what happened and where it happened, specifically where it happened. So she gave some really great tidbits. She's such a joy to talk to, always so kind, so genuine and
Yeah, for sure. So, but before we get to that, let's go over some Housewives headlines from this week. Yes. The first one being Mary Cosby is back in Salt Lake City. I mean, she's always been in Salt Lake City, but she was spotted filming. They're filming season 4?
Mm-hmm. Season 3, we just made sure pretend didn't happen.
Season 4, they are filming. They're in the midst of filming. A fan caught the cast on a trip to Palm Springs, which I love Palm Springs, but I'm also hoping they get some sort of international trip later in the season because these girls have only been traveling along the West Coast.
I've never been to Palm Springs, so it sounds nice, but yes, get these girls out of the country. My God. Yeah.
Which I've heard rumblings that there will be a bigger international trip finally, now that COVID has winded down and, I think maybe they have a bigger budget now. I don't know.
Well,
They don't have Jen Shah.
Right. I know, like COVID, yes. Budget,
it was more Jen Shah.
Jen Shah was a little bit of an issue, specifically last season and then the second half of season 2. They really
I forgot she couldn't leave the country.
Yeah, that was kind of an asterisk going on with their whole travel situation.
Mary was spotted filming. And then, I mean, we didn't see a lot. We just saw them walking up to a restaurant, checking in for their table. And then there's this funny snapshot of Mary sitting in what looks to be another Sprinter van or something, party bus or something. And she looks miserable, which is like so in character for her. Like I don't know. I'm seeing mixed things on social media. People are like, if this is the Mary we're getting back, I don't want it. But then other people are like, oh my God, I love this about her, you know? So I'm just excited. I'm excited to see what happens. I think with Jen leaving, we kind of needed a nostalgia factor, like coming back in. So I'm interested to see what the dynamic will be with her back and Jen gone. I think it'll be good for the show, at least entertaining. I don't know. What do you think?
I really didn't think that Mary would end up coming back. I mean, I know that there was rumblings and that there was like a report that I think came from Page Six or something. And Meredith has been open. She's even told the two of us on this podcast that she wants Mary back, but I didn't think it would happen between Mary wanting it, between production agreeing to it, between the other ladies, even I just didn't think it would happen. So seeing that footage and being like, oh my God, Mary's there. And then seeing the picture of Mary pissed off in the van was like, oh my God, Mary's there. You know, she's going to be sending God after somebody because she does not look happy in that van. But yes, it's also worth noting that the four, Heather, Whitney, Lisa, and Meredith, as expected, are back. Mm-hmm. I believe Angie K is in that footage. I believe that she's...
Yeah, Angie K is, Angie H is not.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
It's only room for one. I already got confused on that. And then I believe a newbie. And I'm sure they're trying to figure out the cast. This may not be the whole group as the season goes forward. Mm-hmm. I think we're seeing that with Beverly Hills, where they're probably trying to figure out what the newbie situation is. So it'll be interesting with Salt Lake. I hope that Mary, I agree with the criticism of that. Like, I hope that Mary is going to be in it to be in it, you know? Like, she's such an, and there's one thing that you have to say about that woman is that she is so authentically entertaining. Like, I don't know who found her to start the Salt Lake, but like, my God, that woman is entertaining. But she also is so, she can't fake it at all, that she just doesn't give a damn. And I think that's a little bit of a problem where like, she just doesn't care. And if she doesn't like you, she doesn't like you. And she doesn't really like anybody except Meredith. But I hope that Meredith can kind of keep her around long enough for Mary to stick around. And who knows, maybe Mary will mend fences from the other ladies. And she's probably like, hey, I need to not do what I did last time because I wasn't in a, one of this, I wasn't in the last season, and she probably wants the paycheck. So I'm sure that Mary will maybe come in with a different attitude, but we also want crazy Mary. So, you know, but I'm a little excited for the future of Salt Lake.
Yeah, me too. I am too. I was skeptical at first, but seeing them in Palm Springs and, you know, just them together got me excited again. Yeah. So,
sayonara, Denshaw. See ya.
Yeah.
Moving on.
Yeah. And, yeah. And then we'll move on to the next topic too. I saw Jill Zarin, I guess.
Oscars party. I believe it was
an Oscar party or something.
Was she invited? I don't know.
I don't know. But she was at some Oscar party.
Yeah.
She walked a carpet and she was asked about Roni Legacy. Mm-hmm. I think there was like a report out there that Jill was to blame for the negotiation fallout, like the stalling of it. Obviously there were reports a couple months ago about Roni Legacy being dead because the women were asking for too much money or something like that. No more details really ever came out at that time. But I think there was a report somewhere between then and now that said Jill was the reason, and that she was asking for equal pay as the other ladies who have been on the show for like 12, 13 seasons. Jill obviously was an OG cast member of Real Housewives of New York City, but she did leave after season 4, I believe. And hasn't been back since. She was on Real Housewives Ultimate Girls Trip, Ex-Wives Club season 2. So she did come back in that way. And, you know, I think fans are warming up to her again, but you know, it's up for debate. Does she deserve equal pay? And she was on the carpet, asked about it, and she kind of confirmed it. She was basically like, yeah, I do deserve as much money as the other ladies. I created this show, created the cast. She said she casted 3 women. I know she brought Bethany onto the show, I think Ramona and maybe Luann.
That's what I was thinking, because I don't know if she brought Alex in, so that's the only
I don't think left. So I think it was Luann.
Definitely Bethany. We know that they had a relationship. Yeah.
And she thinks it's kind of like the situation on Potomac where it's Charisse. Like, was it Karen or Charisse who created the cast? It's Charisse, but I think Karen claims it was her, but
yeah, I think it was Charisse. But
and whoever does like sort of recommend these cast members, they obviously always think like they created the show, you know, like, oh, I built this show, I built the cast,
right.
You know, so she wants her dues. She wants to get paid accordingly. And I think Bravo or Peacock, wherever the show would have aired or will air, doesn't think she deserves equal money. Somewhere there's for some reason there was, they hit a dead end, or at least for now. But it was interesting to see her confirm that and kind of be like, I deserve it. So I don't know. I guess we'll see what happens.
Yeah, it sounds like they were doing the contracts and called Jill and they were like, this is how much you're making. And they either told her it's not as much as the other ladies or word got around. And Jill was like, no, thank you.
The question is like, do you think the show Legacy needs Jill?
I think the problem is, and I think we've talked about this before, where you go down the lineup of like, who else are you having on the show? I think Luann and Sonia and Dorinda are probably locks, but like Bethany is not doing it. Ramona's not doing it. Carol's not doing it. Like, who else do you have left? Kelly Ben Simone. Like,
and they're already doing a Luann and Sonia show. So it's like, why do we need a second show with just them?
Yeah. And I think Luann and Sonia are, I think they're must have. They're more must have. Luann, Sonia, and Dorinda are the must haves for Legacy. And then I would put maybe Jill fourth.
But Jill like, would be fourth. And then I think Kelly's in talks, I think.
Yeah. But like, who else are you having? I don't even know if Tinsley lives in the city anymore. I think she, I don't even know. She
doesn't, I know.
Like, I think she's in Palm Beach now.
Yeah, and Bethany said she
and we're losing Bethany and Ramona, who are the juggernauts of Rony. You know, say what you want about them, but they kind of are Rony. So I guess when one person backs out and you already have this kind of set list that you can't lose anybody, it's like, okay, well now everything falls apart. So I don't know if Bravo/Peacock feels like Jill is worth that or not. Like, I don't know. It remains.
I mean, I would think they wouldn't if that's what's stalling it.
Yeah. And maybe there's more to it. I mean, she's basically confirming that she saw them. That doesn't mean she's not the only one or that all of the women are. And because I mean, if she's getting paid less, I mean, they're, I mean, if Kelly's being on the show, there's no way she's making more than.
I also wonder, like, how that even comes to be. Like, when someone says, I want to make as much as everyone else. Did she ask them how much they got offered?
Or like, I feel like people's teams talk. Someone's publicist talks. Someone's makeup artist talks. You know, I think word gets around, especially with those women, because they're all very connected in the New York world. So I don't know. I mean, there's really no progress being made on Rony Legacy. And I kind of stand by what I've said before, which is I think Bravo wants to hold out and get the new New York up and running, which I predict will probably be this summer. And if it's a hit, I don't even think we're going to be talking about Legacy, because why are you going to go backwards and bring this back into the fold if the new thing you're making is good? Everyone's liking
it. Almost just keep putting those ladies on Girls Trip. Just keep doing an Ex-Wives Club. Just keep...
Fine with me, honestly. Like,
I love that show. I mean, let's just keep doing it. You know, let's just
keep... And you might as well, if there's only going to be a couple of them, because what happens then if we get Legacy and everyone hates it? Because this one's on it, this one's on it, this one's on it. Then what was the point of all of this fuss for the fans, for the women, for production? There really was no point to all of this. So keep mixing them in Girls Trip, you know, do whatever. And
I also wonder how long Legacy can go. I love the idea of Legacy, et cetera. But like, let's say, I mean, New York, I don't know off the top of my head how many housewives there have been overall in the whole series. Mm-hmm. But you're talking maybe 10, 12, 13 maybe ladies. Mm-hmm. You bring on 6 or 7 of them to Legacy. I don't know. It's like you only have a few to like fill in if someone decides to leave or something. So like, how long can this spinoff last is what I'm saying. Unless everyone wants to stick with it for many, many years, then okay, you know. Right. I'm curious. I mean, I'm open to it, but.
I don't know if it's recipe for success, but we'll say. I don't know, we'll say.
Yeah. Another headline I saw this week was Kyle Richards and Kathy Hilton are reportedly not speaking still. A source tells People magazine, nobody has made an effort to patch things up since obviously Aspen and all that, you know, came down after that. And supposedly Kyle has not met her niece Paris Hilton's baby yet.
Yeah.
So... there's definitely something going on. I know they were pictured. Kathy and Kyle posed for a picture at Elton John's Academy Awards viewing party on Sunday. That was March 12th. So only a couple days ago. So, but I don't know. They've done that before. I mean, Kathy and Lisa Rinna, I think, posed for a photo a couple months
ago. Yeah, but a little odd. They're taking pictures together, but not speaking. Like, I don't know. That's like a little weird.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess we'll see what comes of it. We haven't seen Kathy filming for Beverly Hills yet. We don't know if she's coming back. Kyle's been filming. I guess we'll see. I mean, she was a holdout, like we said last week. Kathy was a holdout last season. Maybe she's just holding out a little bit this season.
I don't think it's going to happen.
I mean, she also said she wouldn't come back if Lisa and Erica, I think, were there. And Lisa's gone, but Erica's still there. So maybe she's just like, no way.
But then you add in a layer that, remember last season, her and Kyle were speaking when Kathy jumped in halfway, and there was she was involved in the Paris Is in Love Peacock show.
Yeah.
You know, there were rumors that Kathy wanted more money, yada, 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 but she was involved in another show that was filming at that time. Mm-hmm. Now she's not even speaking to her own sister, who is kind of the anchor for the show. Yeah. I don't see Kathy coming back. I really don't, which kind of bums me out because I feel like it would add a lot of spice to the show, especially with the cast right now. I don't really know what is going to come from this group of six. I mean, I'm sure there's going to be newbies, but I don't see Kathy Hilton coming back. I really don't.
Yeah.
Which is disappointing. I mean, anything could happen. You know, there could be a headline tomorrow, and I'm sure if Bravo's going to have her back, they're going to be giving her a nice pay sum, but I don't know. I feel like the ship may have sailed. I think that Aspen was... a lot of camels' backs.
Speaking of Housewives on Trips, we can't say too much because the show has not premiered yet.
Mm-hmm.
But you and I have both seen the first three episodes of Real Housewives Ultimate Girls Trip season 3 in Thailand.
Yep.
I'm liking it.
Yeah.
Are you liking it?
I am liking it. It's definitely, and again, obviously, we're going to be very coy here about what we say. It's very different than the first two in a sense that pretty much the entire cast is duos of people that have issues from the season that they just filmed.
Yes.
Miami, Salt Lake, and Potomac, obviously all that just wrapped on air or about to wrap on air in the case of Miami, all filmed right before they all flew to Thailand. So there's a lot of crossover with some of the drama that happened on their seasons. So in a sense, that's fun to see because it's almost like it's like the next story and you're like still in it. A little repetitive in some cases. I don't want to say specifically what, but I think that viewers, when they watch, will understand. I think you and I are on the same page about what specifically. It's fun to see Portia back on TV and it's fun to see Leah back on TV.
Yeah.
Leah is messy and I'll leave it at that.
Those two are my favorites on it so far. And I think it's probably partly because of what you said, which is they're not so fresh in our minds. They're not, you know, yes, Leah was on the most recent season of New York City, but that was probably what, 2 years ago now. And so it feels like, oh, we haven't seen her for a bit. Like, you know, let's catch up. Let's, you know, let's be reminded why we liked her at first when she got on the show, you know? And yeah, it's messy. It's funny. We finally see that elephant poop scene. So, you know, viewers will finally see what really happened then. I'm liking it. So I'm interested to see what people think, but
I just want to say real quick, they continue to break the fourth wall, which is one of my favorite parts of the show and of Girls Trip. And I have loved that the past 2 years and I like it here. You get a lot of interesting perspectives about how some of the women feel about the show. Leah talks about the situation with Roni and the cancellation and everything. And that's really interesting. And next week on the podcast, everyone will be able to hear our interview with two of the Girls Trip cast ladies. I don't want to say who yet, but a good chat with two of the eight girls, which was super fun that we already recorded.
I'm excited. I'm happy it's coming back, and like
people will enjoy it. I think people will
like you said, it's so good to have Portia back on our TV screen. So also I saw this week Andy Cohen said, I mean, everyone's still like begging and wondering where is the Orange County season 17 trailer. It feels like it's been eons, but I think it's coming soon in the next 2 weeks.
Let me just say real quick, though, that everyone is begging for the Orange County trailer. And you know that all these damn fans are going to be ripping on the season and complaining about how it's the worst ever again. So I just want to point this out.
Yes.
Stamp this down March 2023, 3 months from now, when everyone's complaining how terrible the season is. I hope not. I'm not saying I think it's going to be like that. I just, we know how these fans operate. It's just very ironic that people are begging for the trailer. But I mean, I want the trailer, too. Who are we kidding?
Andy said it's the new season is really good in quotes and a return to form.
Yes.
I hope he's right.
Mm-hmm.
I always take what he says with a grain of salt because at the end of the day, he's here to promote a show.
Mm-hmm.
But with Tamara coming back, I do hope that he's right. I do think it will be a good, it'll feel like old school Orange County again, hopefully, you know, with Heather and Tamara back together on screen. And then even with Taylor from Beverly Hills. So I'm excited. We'll see what happens. But I'm hoping in the next 2 weeks.
Vicky filmed too. And she told us about it when she was on the podcast. And she just did confessionals, I saw. She reveal that she's doing confessionals for the new season, which seems like, I mean, if you're doing confessionals, you're involved to a high degree in some aspect. So I think it'll be a very familiar season in the sense that we don't have to learn about all these newbies and about who's friends with who, and there's established relationships that are going to reconcile and break apart. And I think it'll feel like a payoff kind of season for people that have been watching and known these women for a long time. So I'm excited. Give us the trailer, Andy.
Yeah, we need it. What did you think about part two of the Miami reunion?
Yes, Miami is winding down. We got part two. It dropped this Thursday this week. And my God, these women are getting vicious.
I know. I thought this one was so much better than part one.
Yeah, it was definitely more wild because we really got to the thick of it at the Larsa and Nicole stuff. And I know, you know, part three, obviously, I'm assuming they're saving the Alexi Adriana stuff for last, the Frankie comment, which obviously, as we expected. I just can't find myself agreeing with the Alexia Larsa couch when, you know, as a viewer, you like watch these fights and you're like, oh, I agree with this person. I agree with this person. I think that those women are, I mean, I think the whole cast is entertaining. I think that the OGs are especially entertaining, but like, I can't logically agree with Alexia and Larsa over Nicole and a Julia.
Same.
That's just how I frame it when I'm watching as a viewer. You know,
I mean, even Andy was going at Larsa a little bit. He's like, come on, like, you have to admit that, you know, you went after these people with ill intent, like, you weaponized certain things that you learned about them. And she was like, what? How? You know, and it's like, no, you did. Like,
I think Larsa and Alexia both don't really fess up and own up and take ownership of their actions, but then they expect it from that whole other couch, the whole lineup of women.
Someone else on another cast, but I won't say.
Yeah, so that comparison has been drawn on social media.
I don't want everyone coming after me.
But that has come up before. And I think it's pretty accurate. I will agree with you on that. I mean, Miami is just wild. I hope it doesn't turn into like a nasty split cast.
Yeah,
a lot, because I mean, I just saw recently that Alexi and Adriana are not speaking still, and I know that there's a lot of bad blood with them that, I mean, I guess, spoiler alert, doesn't get resolved in the reunion, because she just did an interview with TMZ like a few days ago saying that they have not spoken, so clearly that doesn't come to a great resolution. But I don't know, we got 1 week left of Miami and then that's it, but from what I'm hearing, production's picking up very soon this spring, so And I presume the whole cast will be back and
it's an amazing cast. The only, I wonder if they will bump up Kiki or keep her as a friend of or Marisol.
I'm into Kiki.
Me too. Kiki.
I would wish we learned a little bit more about her. I mean, she has a daughter, like since when? I mean, I had heard about that in the previous episodes. She likes Burger King, so we like that. And she was cheated on. Well, I want to know more about that. And the episode ended, I don't know if I was supposed to be like jaw on my floor, but like her telling Lisa that she knows models that Lenny has cheated with.
Lenny cheated, yeah.
But was that supposed to be shocking? Like, duh. Are we thinking that this man wasn't involved?
Like, it's so funny. It's like, it doesn't seem shocking to us as viewers or even probably some of the other ladies, but I think Lisa is still like, what? I think she's still in denial a little bit about a lot of it. And I think it's mainly because if she admits to it, or at least accepts it, she feels like she looks like a dummy or an idiot for not seeing it herself. But it's like, it's hard when you're in the position yourself. Like, no one's like blaming her, no one's, you know, telling her, come on, how did you not see it? You know, it's like, I think they're just telling her the information because they're like, hey, listen, like, don't ever like question whether you should get back together with him or anything like that. Like, he's treated you badly.
Yeah, I agree. The more she knows, it's, even if it hurts at that moment, it's a better
end result. Or get over it, I think, is how they feel it might help. But
yeah, I agree. But yeah, we'll see. Part three should be good. Grand finale.
Yeah. What did you think of this week's jersey? I know we talked a little bit about it at the beginning of this, but
I feel like because we had so much discussion about it, because the episode that we had Dolores on specifically kind of to talk about the baseball game, which that was kind of the capsule of this whole jersey episode. It was good. Nice episode. You know, there wasn't any crazy drama, which I was like fine with. It was fun to see the whole Jersey gang with the husbands and the kids and everyone getting along. I think that's kind of what makes RHONJ is that it has that
family sense,
very like community. Like, these are all people that are genuinely like friends or, you know, and related to each other, and that there's like almost like a community there. I mean, of course, some of them despise each other, but you know, that's the housewives being housewives. But it was fun. I mean, Dolores is just so charitable and amazing, and it was a fun episode and interesting to see the Aidens in therapy. What did you take away from that ending scene? That therapist was a little odd. Therapist was kind of odd.
Yeah, an interesting character.
Let's get her on the next season.
I actually like love when I'm watching reality shows and someone goes to a therapist. I just like love listening to the conversation. It's almost like you're a fly on the wall in a room you shouldn't be in.
And I
just find it, I like when someone's that vulnerable that they allow us as viewers to watch their intimate issues be, you know, dissected and stuff like that. I'm not gonna lie, I'm a little worried about their marriage. I almost think this is gonna be a couple that I fear the show is going to pull them apart. So I don't know. I see more issues than I see not, but I don't know, maybe I'm wrong.
I could see that, and I almost feel like as Jen gets more immersed into the show, and I mean, and she's in it now. I mean, she's, let's face it, one of the stars of the show. She's fighting with a new person every episode, and it's getting vicious. The more that happens, Bill is less and less and less immersed, and I feel like her life and the show's world, and it doesn't really feel anymore like he's fitting in with the guy group as much. It feels like he's on the outskirts of the Joe Gorga, Joe Benigno, Frank, even like the John Fuda core group. It feels like he's on the outs a little bit of that.
Jennifer's almost like dictating who he can be friends with out of the husbands. Don't be nice to Margaret. Don't do this. And then she's mad that he's not like defending her in the group. And I think he's more of a reserved, like, I don't know the word I'm thinking of, but I don't think he's here for like the drama of the show. No. I think he's like, oh, okay, this is something you wanted to do. Like, I'm here to support you, but I'm not going to get involved. Mm-hmm. And she wants him to like go guns blazing, get involved, like almost like Joe Gorga. I think she wants him to be
that's
like.
That's just not who Bill is.
It's not who he is. And I think I'm worried that it's going to hurt the relationship more than it already is.
Yeah.
We'll find out. I hope I'm wrong. Yeah. I would never want to see any family split up.
And they have the cutest kids, and they really seem like they have such a good unit and a good family going on. And, you know, listen, we don't see every minute of what goes on in that household. Jennifer probably has to do a lot for all those kids. And Bill is at work all day, and he's obviously working hard and making a lot of money. But when he comes home and allegedly is just hanging out in the pool house or just watching TV and having a drink in the backyard, she's probably like, effing do something, please. So I hear her frustrations, and I totally get it. And there's who knows what's going on in that household behind closed doors. I mean, so I don't know, but I'm excited for everyone to hear the interview with Dolores. She gives a lot of tidbits about what's coming up in Jersey and what's going on with the rest of this crazy season. I guess we're a little bit under halfway, but it's been good.
I think so. Yeah, we're almost there. We're almost halfway. Well,
Jersey Shore trip coming up.
Jersey Shore trip. Oh yeah, the annual Jersey Shore trip. You know what? This is a side note, but like, I actually like wish they would like change up the schedule next year.
I knew you're going to say that. And I'm totally with you.
I want to see them during holidays. I want to see, you know, like, I love the summer. I love the Jersey Shore, but it just feels so like it's the same months every year. It's like May, June, July, and that's it. That's all we get, you know?
I think that you're literally on the same filming schedule since, I think this started like when around COVID happened. And like, so 3-4 years now they've been on the same filming schedule. And I think this upcoming season is the time to make that change because the reunion, they're probably filming in a month or so. I know that's going to get nasty. So they should take a break. They should
take a longer break.
Almost like really summer off and film in September. See? And end in December or October.
This will air, the reunion will air sometime in the summer, I'm guessing.
Like it's March, and you know, the Jersey seasons are not long.
It'll probably be like May, June.
Yeah.
Yeah. They should almost like, once that wraps,
give them the summer off.
Summer off. Don't start until October. Remember, New York used to always start in October.
Yeah.
Let's start October, film through Christmas.
That's what they used to do, because the early seasons, they were always doing Christmas with the spring.
They could have like New Year's Eve be the finale party, you know? And then
we have the best
ideas. In like April, May, you know, we wouldn't be losing too much.
No, and I think it's fun to switch it up when everyone, the show's filming, because it's about their lives, and if they're repeating everything, then nobody wants to see repetition on television. Yeah. It's boring.
But we'll see.
All we know is that our Dolores interview is next, and it's great.
Yeah. So stick around for that.
Yes, enjoy.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome back to the Pay Attention Please podcast, Dolores.
I almost thought you said welcome back, scumbag.
No, I should have.
That could be today's episode.
Yeah. No, never you. Obviously, this season of Jersey has been pretty crazy already. We're only a couple episodes in. How has it been watching it back for you?
Not easy for me at all. If it's not the emotions of what's going on with my friends who are literally killing each other, literal war, it's my life and what's going on in my life. It's a lot. I'm not emotional about things. I'm not big on showing how I feel about things and all mushy. And it's like, ooh.
Has there been anything that surprised you watching back these few episodes, whether it be something someone said in a confessional or?
Well, in the beginning, sure. Like if you want to go back to the first episode, I didn't know that Jennifer was talking about me the way that she was. And I didn't know that she called me the names that she called me. Mm-hmm. So she did get the episode before I did. Mm-hmm. And she called me to tell me, I want you to see this first. Mm-hmm. And I'm really sorry for the way I spoke about you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's fair, right? What can I do from there?
For sure.
Yeah, I either retaliate or just move on from it. So I decided to do that at that point.
Yeah, you guys obviously started at a really rough place at the beginning of the season. You're still sort of going through it on the show, but we know in real time you guys are on good terms. Is there anything you can tell us about how you got to that point?
Well, you'll see shortly how we did get to that point, because it was either going to escalate to a place of there's no coming back from this, or we're going to have to sit and talk about this. And what do we want to do? Mm-hmm. And unlike the rest of the people on the show, when I decide to bury in real life, this is how I feel. In real life, if you decide to forgive somebody for something, you have to bury it. You can't bring it up again, no matter how bad you want to prove a point, whether you're in the middle of a fight. For an instance, okay, if someone cheats on you, if you're in a relationship and somebody cheats on you, my rule of thumb is, if you decide to stay with them, you can't keep going back to that moment and that incident. You can't, then don't stay together.
Right.
You have to bury it and move on from it. And even if you want to bring it up, or if you're having a bad moment, or if you hear a song that reminds it of you, or if the show plays back and somebody that you forgave now says something again, you have to just let it go.
I feel like you're really good at that, but I feel like a few other cast members struggle with it.
Not so much.
Human nature is to struggle with that. But in my life, and going back in my divorce years ago, when I did give Frank an ultimatum saying, if we stay together, this will never be spoken of again. And it didn't work out that way, but I would have had, I really believe in, you have to deal with things if you decide to live with them.
Yeah.
It's a good kind of rule of thumb. Do you feel like that hasn't been the case with Jennifer and Bill? Because obviously the affair came up last year and it kind of still keeps being brought up. And it seems like she has a lot of resentment still.
Right. So, the fact that it came up again so many years later and there was a lot of unresolved issues, I guess that's what she's going through. I can't speak for her and how she feels about things. But I think there's a lot of other things besides the affair. Like there, that she seems to voice in this episode that you will see.
Yeah.
There's more than just that.
Yeah.
A little bit on a lighter note, we will see your charity softball game this week on this week's episode.
You have to come next time.
We want to, yeah. We would be happy.
I'll give you a box.
We're both in Jersey.
Yeah. I love that this has become an annual thing for the show now. It's like it's happening every year now, which is so fun. I'm sure that's exciting for you.
It is really exciting for me, and it means so much to me because it's the one time in the season that you will actually see, even if there's some turmoil going on, when we hit that field, we're still a team.
Yeah.
And I think that you need to see that to understand that there's still hope for all our friendships.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, last season, I mean, there were a few digs, Teresa, Margaret, et cetera. What can we expect from this year's charity event?
Again, you know, what happens in the locker room stays in the locker room. Mm-hmm. And then you get on that field. And again, like it warms my heart to see that we're a team. Yeah. You know, what you don't see is this year they had one of the cancer survivors, like throw the ball out to us. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and to see the doctors having such a good time, which they deserve that. They are the heroes of the hospital. Mm-hmm. And the staff and everything, that hospital has a special place in my heart because mm-hmm. during COVID they worked nonstop, and it's such a condensed area that they had so many patients, and they were at risk. They were sleeping in their cars rather than not to go home. I know what they lived through. And I also know that they don't turn anyone away. So the money that we raised at this event this year went to the breast center that whether you have insurance or not, you're going to get care.
Oh. Like, it's amazing. It's amazing how charitable you are, Dolores, because I don't think we see that enough from all the housewives of all different franchises. Like, what was this something you were passionate about years ago, even before the show, about just charity?
My whole life. It's the way I was raised. Like, my parents were always like, you know, they raised us like, don't ever let anyone sit alone mm-hmm. at the lunch tables. And if somebody doesn't have anything, give them what you have, even if you want it, give it to them. Mm-hmm. So, and there was people that I didn't grow up with a lot, but there was people with so much less than me. Mm-hmm. So we were always giving. Mm-hmm. And so that's something I've always been raised to do. My family's the same way. I'm one of five. Mm-hmm. You don't see them that much. On the show.
No, we don't.
Fun to see your dad on this new episode. We got
So you see my dad. My dad's so funny. He loves this shit so much. He's like so you know, my dad was the police chief of the third largest city in the country. So, like, with crime and everything. So he was a big shot for a long time. Yeah. So when he retired, I think he misses that. So when he sees himself on TV, he's like, oh yeah.
We see during the softball game, Chris and I both saw the episode. Frank does bring up to you his dynamic with Paulie. Did you feel like that was the wrong place, wrong time for him to do that there?
You know, listen, our lives are an open book here. Would I have liked for him to never call Paul Buzz Lightyear? Yes. And because I knew at that reunion, once that was said, that was going to be something we were going to have to talk about. And I was kind of hoping Frank would be more patient with this process rather than to bring it up. But I know what I signed up for, and I owe it to the people who do watch the show to know what's going on in my life. And that is that was going on in my life. I have Paul who had to get used to the dynamics of me and Frank, and there had to be somewhat of a transition. And I allowed that because, again, my kids are older now. And they have their own lives. So this was kind of a life I was making. And I had to consider Paulie's feelings about that. But also, I hurt my feelings to see Frank, which you'll see tonight. Yeah. So upset. I think that people are going to be upset with me for that. I don't know. Like, I don't know. There's people that feel differently about it. There's people that are like, Frank, don't make her feel bad about what she has to do. And then there's the people that are going to be like, but we love Frank, you know?
He really is such a fan favorite on the show. I mean, you are too, but everyone just loves you guys.
So how did you feel, I have to ask you, watching it?
I understand your perspective. Speaking on behalf of myself, I understand your perspective about this is the new man in your life. This is your relationship. So I respectfully disagree with Frank about him wanting, he wants his cake and to eat it too. You know, I feel like he wants things a certain way, and times have changed for you guys. You're in a serious relationship now, and I respect your perspective on it.
Right. So, and again, that wasn't easy for me because Frank taking it personal, it wasn't personal.
Right.
And, you know, like I said, I always still will say, you know, I've put everybody before me my whole entire life. And this was something I was putting my time into. I was enjoying it. You know, it was a different dynamic with me and Paul. Paul wanted to spend a lot of time with me. I've never had that, like never. So I was kind of like relishing in it. And I knew things would work out, which down the road you will see, but it's still, it's hard to watch. It was hard for me to watch. And then everybody was like, oh, poor Frank. I'm like, God.
Yeah, it's just because like Eric said, he's just such a fan favorite. But we love
him. And he's such a big mush. And he's got such a big heart. And he, you know, he's just like a kid that didn't understand what was kind of going on. It was hard for him.
Yeah. How is Paulie adjusting watching the season back, you know, already wrapping season? How does he feel about it overall?
So you should ask him. He's here.
Hey, Paulie.
Where is he? Tell Paul to come up. I'd love for him to put in his own words because he's been through it. You know, this is a guy who comes from a life of living in this country, not having any family, seeming like he's becomes very successful, right? But he kind of lived a kind of quiet life. Like, even though he's flashy, he's got his Rolls Royce and he's got his beautiful home. But Paul's a kind of a quiet, subdued guy. And he comes from a world where you don't let people know your business. You're always on high alert. So I think that's why he was always kind of secluded from a lot of things. But, and then all of a sudden he's on international TV. Like,
did he even know what the Real Housewives of New Jersey was before dating you?
No.
He's like, what's Bravo?
Paul. Always swearing.
We also
swear a lot.
We also get to see it's fun to see Brittany too on the show. How do you like having her around more?
I love it. I like her. She's so pleasant and so nice. And I think they make such a beautiful couple. They really do. I like seeing them together. And I mean, I think people really like her. So how do you feel? Well, question, how do you feel about being on
the show,
a television show, a reality show?
Because you didn't really know a lot about it.
How do you feel about it?
Come here, you could.
Don't be shy.
I'm shy.
Yeah.
Hi, Paul.
Hey, Paulie.
How do you feel about being a reality star? Is our question.
Well, Dolores is the star.
That's true.
I'm just putting energy into the energy. It's kind of, listen. Look, it's fun. It's fun. To be honest, it's fun.
Yeah.
She makes it so easy. So she just told me at the start, she's like, just be yourself and follow my lead. Like, just, you know, stick to what we do normally and you should be okay. And that's kind of what I did.
Yeah.
But meeting the other people, it's been fun.
But then watching it, Paul.
Yeah. No, watching is not
good. That's harder.
Yeah. Watching is not good. You kind of, you know, you get very picky about something. Things you see and they say that, I can't believe I did this, but she's just a natural, like, so.
But then he has this whole procedure that he has to go for with his heart. And
that's because I met Dolores.
So you know, he's doing better and it's amazing, but the doctors were wonderful. But do you know that when Page Six covered this for him, he actually reached out to them because I want people to know how dangerous this is. Like, if you feel your heart flutter, you really need to go see someone. Most people just blow it off like there's nothing wrong.
Right.
But you can
especially have a stroke. Men don't love going to the doctor typically.
No. And he could have had a stroke. So many people reached out and they were like, thank you for sharing that because I have that. And now I'm going to go. And then they call back and they're like, we went and we're good.
Yeah, definitely. It definitely helped. Even close friends of mine that I didn't know, they had the same thing I had. Well, they didn't know what they had because I didn't know because I was misdiagnosed. But in the end, when we figured it out, they said, oh, that happens to me when we're sitting having lunch or, you know, playing golf or whatever. So it was a big thing. But Dolores, you know, she said, enough's enough. We can't keep taking tablets and thinking that this is okay. Because she would lie there. I mean, my heart would be like pounding. So
it's been fun for him. Wait till you see the finale.
Oh boy.
Well, what about
some stuff goes down in that finale, no?
Some stuff goes down right here on this couch.
Oh. You guys host the party, the finale party.
We hosted the party. And
a lot of stuff went down.
That's like, we, at one point I'm standing right there, Paul, and I look and I go, who do I go to?
Yeah.
And he's, what do you call it, bollocked?
Oh, I'm fucked. I'm absolutely bombed. So I made a suggestion of bringing whiskey to the party.
Oh, boy.
Don't get high in your own supply. Looking absolutely, yeah.
Sometimes the host just gets drunk. That happens. Listen.
Honestly, you know, I don't
remember. I've never seen anything like that in my life. The host couldn't speak. He was like, blah, blah, blah.
And that's what it was.
We are, and since Paul, since we have you here, we are so excited for the Ireland trip. Yeah. Obviously, we know that obviously has to do with you, given that you're from Ireland. Dolores, what can you tell us about the trip and how did the trip come about?
So the trip came about because everything was so bad. Like, we are killing each other up until this trip. The fights are so bad that I said, I went to Ireland and it was a different, just everything was beautiful and clean and fresh and green. And no matter what, where you look, like, you need, I think we needed a breath of fresh air. And I, my experience with Ireland, I wanted to share with them. And I was really trying to get everybody to really calm down. We're getting closer to Teresa's wedding. Things are still heated. Fights are still going on. New dynamics in the group. So I suggested an international trip, which we haven't had since before COVID.
Yeah, it's been a while.
So Paul actually gave us all his input on where to go. And then we wound up at like a 600-year-old haunted castle.
So cool.
Very haunted right now. Since the guys were there. It'll never be the same.
After you guys stayed there.
Yeah. Dolores, would you ever go back with the Jersey girls again to Ireland, or that was one and done?
No, I would, because I think it was a nice break from everything. And you see a lot of emotions. There's one scene that's very emotional there. And you'll see us... a side of Teresa you've never seen.
Interesting.
And but we also had fun.
Yeah.
And it was different just to be in foreign grounds, because like I said, we haven't internationally gone there. And you'll see Paul's mom, who's very funny.
You know what was really cool actually was, so when I started dating Dolores, people were like from Ireland were messaging me, you know, oh, we're big fans of the Housewives, super right. fans of Dolores. So it was actually cool to hear a lot of people from Ireland, like, I mean, a lot of people reached out, or even through friends, to say that they got an opportunity to see them. They met with them. They walked behind them. They were like, hey, this is great. They're in our city. Like, it's just great for the exposure as well. Like, it was really cool.
People are going to, let's put it this way. We kind of made it kind of a bachelorette party for Teresa. That's going to be the new bachelorette haven there.
Oh, you guys are going to do some, you're going to do some good promotion for Ireland.
Yeah.
I love Ireland. I've been once years ago, and it was, I went to Galway and Dublin. Galway was beautiful.
Oh, and Irish guys are really good looking.
Yeah.
Like, they really are.
Saying that?
No.
We have proof right here.
I went to an Irish bar and I was walking, like, looking around.
I'm Irish too. I got red hair to show it.
I'm like, hey, Paul, yeah. Like, you're walking down the street and there's a guy with a nice scruff. I'm like.
Now, you were just talking about the season ending fight in your place. Melissa and Teresa are still at odds with each other. Mm-hmm. Are you surprised by that?
Okay. Yeah, he wants out of this.
Nice. Hi, Paul.
This is where I
thanks
dip.
For stopping by.
He gets, am I surprised at the fact that they're still
that they're still, yeah.
No.
No.
I think that this was a culmination of years of buildup and it all came to a head, unfortunately, right before her wedding. And we just wish that didn't happen.
Yeah, I know at BravoCon you said without their parents around, there's really no like anchor or extra reason to make things work or just sweep things under the rug. So it's almost more dangerous now.
Right. And that's the thing. No, there's no one to answer to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's no holidays to smile for your parents. They always got together on the holidays.
Right.
And that's important for parents. That's what parents want. No parent wants to see their children not talk or fight. And especially here when they have such a small family.
Yeah.
So it's sad, but I think that they need to be at peace in their life now. And that wasn't happening.
There's a lot of talk about like whether the show can go on if they don't make things work, like to go on with both of them on it. Do you think it can keep going with both of them on it, or do you think they sort of have to part ways?
I think that I don't know. I don't see none of us, all of us being together on a show, let's face it, have to cohabitate to some extent, right? me and Jennifer had to make up.
Margaret
and like you have to move on from things to a certain extent, mm-hmm. and like kind of live together. We travel the world together. We spend every day together. We do vacations together, like trips, short trips, Jersey Shore. We're staying in the same houses. We're at the same parties. You can't. You have something has to give here. Something. Mm-hmm. To what extent, I don't know, but yeah.
Do you have any anxieties about the reunion coming up, just given
how... On a good day, we have anxiety about the reunion. I'm waiting for...
Do you think it's going to get ugly?
I've never been... I mean, anxiety is one thing. I'm actually afraid.
I'm sure you've watched like season 3, 4, 5. Those reunions were crazy. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you've watched them.
I think it'll be like a pimple on its ass. That's what I think. Yeah.
Yeah. Dolores, what do you think? How do you think the new girls adjusted? As a fan, I'm loving all three of them. I think that's kind of the perception from the fans, is that they're enjoying all the new girls.
Bravo to who casted them. They are actually great, mm-hmm. great additions. And, you know, Jen Messler's hysterical. I call her Messler because she's famous. Like, wait till you see her in Ireland. Girl, like, it's crazy.
She's a character.
So I give her credit. I mean, you know, we're not young, but she can hang, you know. I think all the girls are really a great addition.
Yeah.
Cast right now.
Oh, it's yeah.
Cast.
Yeah.
We're a number one show, aren't we?
Yeah, I know. Jersey, I feel like it's in its prime right now. But hopefully the vitriol, you know, I just thought that the Jennifer and Margaret fight was so ugly. It's moments like that.
It's too ugly.
Fun to watch. Exactly. It's not even fun to watch for, I don't think, anybody. Moments like that.
It was too hard, too low. Things were said you didn't even hear, mm-hmm. that were worse than what you saw.
Speaking on that real quick, has your reconciliation with Jennifer affected your friendship with Margaret?
No, I don't tolerate that kind of stuff. Like, everybody knows me. No one dictates who I'm friends with. Yeah. And if they decide to fight, if my friends fight, I don't pick sides with friends. Mm-hmm. But if somebody outside of a friend goes for one of my friends, they're in trouble. Then you see it fight. But you know what? I've seen people fight and make up too much for mm-hmm. me to really get so involved that when they make up, I'm on the outside. No.
Yeah, that's good.
And real quick before we go, I wanted to ask your take on Jacqueline and Teresa's reunion. Are you still close to Jacqueline?
Yeah, I mean, I never had a problem with Jacqueline. I see Ashley, she, you know, I run into her all the time. I've been on her podcast.
Yeah.
Jacqueline has probably one of the biggest hearts mm-hmm. you've ever met in your life. But what do I say? I did speak to Teresa about it. Mm-hmm. And she said that, you know, she was thinking of her and mm-hmm. her life with her Nicholas. And she can kind of relate to her with that. And she wanted to reach out to her and talk to her and say, this is, you know, I'm just thinking of you. That's all. And that's okay.
It's almost proof that maybe some of the feuds that are going on right now can...
Again, what I
never
said,
know. That's... Teresa and Danielle became friends again. So anything's possible.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Dolores. Yeah. It was great speaking with you. We can't wait to see the rest of the season play out. And we hope to chat soon.
Yeah. Let me know. I'm around for you. Thanks for having me.
Bye. Tell Paulie bye.
I will. Bye, guys. Thank you.